The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Just ahead on the Local Government News Roundup, new governance and integrity standards for Victorian councils, a Melton councillor suspended and ordered to apologise over Facebook posts, the Tasmanian Premier critical of a Victorian council, the results of a countback at Moonee Valley, a New South Wales councillor removed from office for non-attendance at council meetings, a two-term mayor announces she won't contest the upcoming mayoral election, a newly elected mayor targeted by cyber criminals, and two council CEO appointments this week in Western Australia. All of that and more coming up. Welcome to the Friday 3rd of May edition of the Local Government News Roundup. I'm Chris Eddy, and our podcast is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. New legislation has reached the Victorian Parliament aimed at elevating governance and integrity standards across the state's councils. The government is aiming to have the new standards in place for the new council term following elections in October. It said 56 councillors have resigned in the current term, 11 councils have had municipal monitors appointed, and one council, Strathbogie, has been dismissed as a result of governance issues. The bill will introduce a uniform code of conduct and mandatory training for councillors and mayors, including annual professional development. There'll be stronger sanctions for councillor misconduct, improved processes to resolve conduct matters earlier, and strengthened ministerial powers to deal with councillors who are either putting health and safety at risk or preventing their council from performing its functions. The government says the reforms come off the back of reports and recommendations from IBAC, the Chief Municipal Inspector, and other interventions such as Municipal Monitor's recommendations for the improvement of processes. Observers have been quick to note that much of the detail of the new regime has been left to regulations which are yet to be developed. Those regulations and a model code of conduct will need to be in place by November when new councils take office. The new bill will be discussed in more detail on a new edition of the Governance Update, TGU, from VLGA Connect, which is available this weekend on YouTube and podcast. A councillor at Melton has been ordered to apologise and serve a 14-day suspension after a finding of misconduct by an arbiter. The application brought by a number of Melton councillors against Councillor Ashley Vandenberg alleged a breach of various clauses of the standards of conduct in relation to Facebook posts made in 2023. The arbiter, Louise Martin, directed that Councillor Vandenberg make verbal and written apologies to fellow councillors in relation to one Facebook post. On another, she said that an apology was not appropriate given it is the subject of pre-litigation proceedings. The arbiter considered it was a particularly serious breach of the standards in that Councillor Vandenberg accused her colleagues of unlawful conduct and racial vilification. A 14-day suspension was imposed to take effect from the tabling of the arbiter's reasons, which occurred at a council meeting last week. Victorian councillors can now take a 4-week university course on identifying and dealing with conspiracy theories. The course, offered by the Municipal Association of Victoria and the University of Melbourne, aims to equip council candidates with the tools to combat misinformation, particularly in the lead-up to local government elections. The Age reported that the course will cover disinformation campaigns around topics such as COVID-19, climate change and gender, as well as common conspiracies on issues like 5G towers and 15-minute cities. A meeting of Hume City Council was disrupted this week by attendees shouting Free Palestine and Shame during a discussion about Anzac Day. The Star Weekly reported that the meeting was adjourned for a short time due to the disruption. Outside the meeting, over 100 people gathered with chants of support for Palestine. Mayor Naim Kurt said the council has previously stood with the community in calling for a ceasefire in the conflict, but was not considering any motions on the topic during this week's meeting. Tasmanian Premier Jeremy Rockliffe has taken aim at Colac Otway Shire Council for what he described as an extremely disappointing decision to walk away from supporting farmers on King Island. The Premier said this week that senior Tasmanian officials had dedicated significant time and resources to work with the council to address any concerns they had and to find a way to open the Apollo Bay port to ship stock feed to King Island. Earlier this week, the council announced that the port of Apollo Bay is unable to support the scale of operations required and that it was working with relevant departments to find an urgent alternative solution. Glen Eira Council is proposing a partnership with Bayside City Council to provide in-home and social support services to elderly residents. This comes in response to the Australian Government's aged care reforms, which have so far seen 45 Victorian councils decide to stop providing services. The council is seeking feedback from various stakeholders on the shared services proposal, with a decision expected to be made in mid-August. Illegal dumping of household waste in public bins is a growing concern in Alpine Shire. The issue is affecting the cleaning schedules of SSX Group, the company responsible for cleaning services in the region. Alpine Shire Council is implementing signage on all public waste bins to encourage reporting of waste issues and to facilitate easier reporting. Mayor Councillor John Forsyth encouraged the community to work together to keep public spaces clean. On-the-spot fines of over $300 can be imposed for illegal dumping. Some more news in brief. There's a new councillor at Moonee Valley after a countback was conducted to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of Cam Nation. Jessica O'Neill was successful in the countback and is expected to be sworn in on Monday. Mayor Pierce Tyson welcomed the election of councillor-elect O'Neill and said it would make Moonee Valley the equal third leader among Victorian councils for female representation. East Gippsland Shire Council is assisting affected business owners and their employees after a fire damaged three commercial properties in the small township of Can River, including a cafe, a vacant shop and a motel. The cafe, a major local employer, along with the loss of accommodation, is expected to significantly impact the well-being of residents and the local economy. And Ballarat Council has approved a three-year funding and service agreement worth $415,000 with Commerce Ballarat, a not-for-profit organisation providing advocacy and support services to over 650 local businesses. The extension continues a 20-year collaboration and increases annual funding by $25,000. The council also allocated $20,000 to Commerce Ballarat's Business Assistance Program, connecting local businesses to support and advice. Golden Plains Shire Council has remembered its first female mayor, Jenny Blake, who has passed away. Jenny served as a councillor from 1996 to 2016 and was mayor from 2008 to 2010 and again from 2012 to 2014. She and her husband Kevin, a former Lee Shire councillor, dedicated their lives to serving and advocating for the residents of Golden Plains Shire. The Australian flags were flown at half-mast at Golden Plains Shire offices on Wednesday, the day of her funeral. Vale, Jenny Blake. This is the Local Government News Roundup for the 3rd of May 2024. It's episode number 331 and it's brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with two workshops coming up this month ahead of council elections in October. The first on standing for local government, the second on local women leading change. You can find out more about these important pre-election workshops on the VLGA website. Head to vlga.org.au. Support for the podcast also comes from Davidson, the nationally recognised recruitment and business advisory service for local government, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for local communities. Now let's look to the national roundup. A New South Wales councillor has been removed from office after being absent from three consecutive ordinary council meetings. A report prepared for an extraordinary meeting of Upper Hunter Shire next Monday reveals that Elizabeth Flaherty did not have a leave of absence to cover the last three consecutive ordinary meetings. The report says neither the Council nor the Office of Local Government have the discretion to overturn the legislative requirement to declare the office of councillor vacant. With elections just 4 months away, the Council will be asked to consider making an application to the Minister to dispense with the need for a by-election, which would cost an estimated $125,000. Two-term Mossman Mayor Carolyn Corrigan has announced that she will not recontest the council's top position in the upcoming elections, citing the need for new energy and commitment. Peter Ireland will run as the serving Mossman mayoral candidate in the local government elections in September. The Daily Telegraph reports that Mayor Corrigan still plans to run as a councillor in the 2024 poll. In Lismore, eight buildings damaged in the 2022 flood disaster are being demolished to ensure public safety and to make way for new facilities. It's been described as a key milestone in rebuilding Lismore in the wake of the disaster. Buildings being demolished include the old Essential Energy Building, the old Scout Hall and the Humbley Oval Hockey Club kiosk. New modular amenities will be constructed at most sites, including a new toilet block at Lismore Lake and new structures at Sam Trimble Oval and Nielsen Park. In Queensland, Sunshine Coast Mayor Rosanna Natoli has been targeted by cyber criminals who've created fake social media accounts in her name and are soliciting personal information and bank details from the public. The Mayor and Sunshine Coast Council have reported the incidents to the Queensland Police Service and the Australian Cyber Security Centre. The public is urged to be vigilant, not to engage with suspicious online communications, and to report any incidents of this nature. Redland City Council is advocating for more support from the Australian Government at the ALGA National General Assembly this month. The Council has endorsed motions on five key issues. They include a fairer application of the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, restoration of local government financial assistance grants, greater access to federal funding for infrastructure projects, a review of the Native Title Act, and consultation and funding for local governments to support the National Recovery Plan for the Koala. Mayor Jos Mitchell will attend the NGA to move and speak to the motions. Gold Coast City Council is planning to approve more permanent beach bars to enhance the city's tourism attractions. However, the Gold Coast Bulletin reported that the council must first negotiate with the state government regarding land tenure at Currawa. Other locations from Coolangatta to the Spit are also being considered for new beach clubs. Mayor Tom Tate said the idea has received support from former Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk and her successor Stephen Miles, and that the council has been approached by multiple investors interested in the hospitality sector. Adelaide City Council has denied media reports that the Australian Federal Police has searched the council offices and seized documents. The claims were made on 5AA's breakfast show, including the presence of a white BMW with AFP signage on the dashboard. The council says that the AFP did not enter the town hall or seize any documents, and that they'd not received any AFP requests for access to council records. Lord Mayor Jane Lomax-Smith told In Daily that the suggestion of a document haul was an example of fake news. Andrea Selvey has been appointed as the new CEO of the Shire of Augusta Margaret River, moving from her current role as CEO of the Shire of Carnarvon. Ms Selvey, who has 16 years of experience in senior local government roles, was selected from 116 applicants. She'll assume the new role after serving her notice period at Carnarvon. Temporary CEO Arthur Cryon will continue in the role until the 31st of May, with directors of the Shire acting as CEO until Ms Selvey begins full-time. And Kerry Shannon, the former Mayor of the town of Cambridge, has been appointed as the new CEO of the city of Nedlands for a five-year term. Ms. Shannon has over two decades of experience in various leadership roles and holds degrees in law, commerce, applied corporate governance and local government. She's played significant roles in legal and corporate governance as well. Mayor Fiona Argyle, who chaired the selection committee, praised Ms. Shannon as the best choice among 108 applicants. For anyone looking to make the move to CEO level, there are three opportunities going at the moment around the country. Sutherland Shire Council has opened applications for its next CEO after the announcement that current CEO Manjeet Gruol is retiring after more than 30 years at the council and more than five as CEO. Applications close on the 27th of May with LG Management Solutions. A recruitment panel has been established by Cairns Regional Council to fill its vacant CEO position after the resignation last month of Micah Martin. The panel will consist of the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and two other councillors with assistance from an independent third party. An interim CEO is yet to be appointed and applications have been invited through Peak Services until the 9th of May. And the Shire of Gingin is recruiting for a new CEO after the resignation last month of Aaron Cook, who has spent 6 years in the role. The Shire is in the wheat belt of WA and applications close with Mills Recruitment on the 20th of May. Bundaberg Regional Council has formally opposed coal mining activity in environmentally significant and high-value agricultural areas. The decision reaffirms a previous stance and comes in response to a mineral development licence application by Fox Resources. The council's opposition is based on the potential impact on agriculture and tourism, two major contributors to the region's economy. We note with sadness the passing of former City of Stirling councillor and two-time Deputy Mayor June Copley, OAM. June served for 18 years as a Stirling councillor until 2007 and was awarded an Order of Australia Medal for her service to local government, sporting organisations and to the community of Balga. Vale, June Copley, OAM. Time now for the global roundup, and voters are going to the polls today to elect representatives in 107 local authorities in England, along with mayoral positions in London and 10 other regions. The elections are viewed as a key indicator of public sentiment ahead of a general election. The mayoral contests in Tees Valley and West Midlands are said to be particularly close and are being closely watched. The Conservative Party is predicted to lose a significant number of the 1,000 seats it currently holds. The names of councillors in Gloucestershire found guilty of misconduct are being kept from the public, with 13 concerns raised over the last year. The Cotswold Journal reported that the identities and specific details of the complaints are not being revealed unless a complaint progresses to a formal hearing. While no complaints have reached a public hearing, a report suggests the matters related to breaches of conduct, including offensive comments and excessive demands. UK Council chief executives have reportedly received a letter from government ministers expressing concerns about issues in the funeral sector. Councils say they need more powers and resources after being tasked with inspecting funeral directors, according to a report from localgov.co.uk. The issue came to the fore in March when police launched an investigation into alleged malpractice at a business in Hull. The incident triggered mass inspections by Hull City and East Riding Council of every funeral director in Hull and East Yorkshire. A Western Isles local authority, Cola Nan Aylinshire, is facing costs of up to £500,000 to restore systems following a suspected ransomware attack in November. The attack caused significant disruption to IT systems, delaying some bills, including council tax, according to a report from BBC News. The council's chief executive said it could take 6 more months for systems to return to normal. No evidence has been found of any data being published from the servers. Boston's City Council has passed a resolution calling for a ceasefire in the conflict between Israel and Hamas with an 11-2 vote, according to GBH News. The resolution calls for an immediate and permanent ceasefire, an end to the bombing of Gaza, the release of all hostages and detainees, and the provision of humanitarian assistance. The resolution also calls for members of the Massachusetts congressional delegation to act in accordance with the resolution. It follows similar resolutions passed by the city councils of Somerville, Cambridge, and Medford. Chicago's Mayor's Advisory Council on LGBTQ plus affairs and Pride organisers are opposing the city's plans to scale down this year's Pride parade due to safety concerns. CBS News reported that the city has capped entries at 125 groups, a 30% decrease from last year due to reduced police staffing after the pandemic. The Advisory Council and parade organisers are calling on Mayor Brandon Johnson to restore the parade to its original capacity, emphasising its importance as a symbol of LGBTQ plus empowerment and visibility. They also called for community discussions on proposed changes to any parade in Chicago. In our global briefs, Auckland Council is progressing with a top-tier leadership change proposal after staff consultations. The changes include a reduction of 2 executive leadership roles and 14 roles in the top tiers and their support functions, with adjustments to reporting lines to foster collaboration. Implementation of the new structure is planned for the end of June. Los Angeles City Council has approved the creation of a Department of Homelessness responsible for coordinating and overseeing the city's efforts to address homelessness. The unanimous vote will lead to a report on the best ways to create such a department, reports Fox LA News. The goal of the department will be to improve coordination, enhance transparency, and dismantle organisational silos in the city's homelessness programs. And there are reports out of England this week that the Levelling Up Secretary, Michael Gove, may be about to send a police chief into Birmingham Council to investigate financial mismanagement. The reports suggest that Mr. Gove is considering the use of powers never used before to launch a police inquiry into the issues that led to the council issuing notices of effective bankruptcy. And finally today, the New Zealand mayor, who's been stripped of roles on various groups and committees by his fellow councillors. It's happened to South Wairarapa Mayor Martin Connolly, further isolating him within his own council. The move was made at an extraordinary meeting held 2 days before the mayor was due to return from health leave, according to The Post. Despite a unanimous vote of no confidence in October and concerns over his conduct, Connolly has vowed to continue in the role. The council says its decisions were made in accordance with the Local Government Act and were aimed at maintaining stability and good governance. That's another episode of the Local Government News Roundup in the Can. It's the edition for Friday, the 3rd of May, 2024, number 331, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and Ventia. You can find the links to the stories referenced in the episode along with a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. You'll find some breaking news updates there on the occasion as well, and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until our next episode, thanks for listening and bye for now. I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the Local Government News Roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more.